from my home local, Springfield, back in Missouri. I've known Randy for a long time, and we have a little bit of a special connection because his dad, Brother William Sheldon, baptized me a mighty long time ago when I was the age of some of the young people that are here today. And I've heard lots of sermons by Brother Randy, and I know that his desire in his heart is to share the message of the gospel. And I would ask that you would have a prayer in your heart for him, and that you would listen with an open mind to hear what the Lord has to teach us this afternoon. Randy?
Well, you probably... All right. What do I do here, Bobby? That's a good start right there. Okay, that's what I'm going to talk about. But before I do that, I'd like to just say just a few little things. This morning I got up and I was getting ready to come here. And one of our men, young man, came up to me and he says, Randy, he says, are you old? Well, why do you ask that? I said, well, I was looking at the directions right here and it says, Elder Randy Sheldon. Well, that has a little bit about what I'm going to talk about. I was thinking some weeks ago, we were singing a song. And as we were singing the song, I tried to put myself back a whole long time ago when I was a kid. Hi, Marvin. God bless you, Marvin. When I was just a little kid, and I would listen to a preacher. I would be singing the songs. And there's a bunch of songs that I didn't really know what the words meant. I'll give you an example. I'm going to raise my Ebenezer. I bet you there's a whole lot of young people right here, and maybe a whole lot of adults have no idea what it is to raise your Ebenezer. Let the lower lights be burning. Well, to a kid, you know, all right, he's turning on his fog lights. The lily of the valley. Well, I've seen lilies, I see flowers. What's that got to do with anything? That may be the mind of a lot of kids. And so some of you may have heard this, but years ago, and I was talking to Gladys, and I can't remember if she bore this testimony, but she told me. She said she was laying in her bed, and the Lord came to visit her that night. And as he's visiting with her, she had a question on her mind. And she wanted to ask the Lord this question. And she asked him, what is it, Lord, that you really want us to hear? What is it that maybe the ministry ought to be preaching about? And the Lord was just straight and simple. You teach the basics. I want to do that today. I want to talk about a familiar scripture that we've all read and looked at, and there's probably not a whole lot new that I'm going to talk about. But you'll find this in the fourth chapter of Mark. And you find it two different places there in that fourth chapter. You're going to find what it says right here. The Lord's talking. And he says this to his disciples. And when he says it to the disciples there, as they listen to that, their minds are turning and they're cranking right here. But they don't really know what all this means. Now, number one, I would like to say something. Or show something. What have I got in my hand? That's what it is. Well, that's a seed right here. Now, that little seed, if it was a lively seed, if it was a good seed, that seed, if you took it out into good ground and you buried it right here, what could you expect to get? A peach tree. All right? Now, back in those days there, and probably still in our days, if you don't have a John Deere tractor, if you don't have some fancy way of planting seed, probably what you would do, if you're going to plant a field of corn, if you're going to plant some beans right here, you're going to have a sack of beans, you're going to have a sack of, corn seed. You're going to, whatever you want to plant, you're going to have this sack. And you're going to go down and you're going to take it. And I've done it. I've done that with grass seed. And I've done it. And I'm throwing that seed. I'm broadcasting that seed. Now, does all of that seed go to where I want it to go? No. Some of that seed is going right here. I want it right here. I'm throwing it right here. But as I throw it right here, some of that seed is going to go where? The wayside. Some of that seed, there's going to be part of my land. I've got wayside and I've got good soil right here. And part of that is rocky soil. And so I'm broadcasting that seed. As I broadcast it right here, some of it is going to land on what? Rocky soil. All right. In my opinion, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking about four different kinds of folks. I believe that he's talking about a good seed. If you read in your Book of Mormon there in the 16th chapter of Alma, it's talking about good seed. The seed is good. The seed that I've got right here probably is not good because it's dried out, been through a whole lot of sunshine, probably very little water right here, and so it's probably not a good seed. I can plant this all day long. I can take care of this seed right here. Probably it's not going to do a thing. But if I got good seed, I can have full expectation something's going to grow. Jesus is talking about seed on the wayside, seed on stony ground, seed in among thorns, and seed in good ground. Now, as he's talking about that, he says, some of them, people, some of them are in the wayside. Some of that seed is on rocky soil. Some of that seed gets thrown among thorns, and some of that seed falls on good ground. That's what that's about right here. I'm not going to read it right here. You can read it. Now, Bobby, how do I change this? All right. Now, here's talking about the wayside. Jesus explains to his disciples, he says, okay, here's the folks. This is the seed on the wayside. So when it's on the wayside, what happens is that the seed lands on the wayside right here, and on the wayside, the devil is looking. Now, for the way I think right here, think of yourself in terms of a crow. Think of yourself in terms of a bird. Think of yourself as something that likes seed. And immediately when that seed goes down, boy, your binoculars are coming out there. Whoa! That seed is right there. I see it. And you're going to fly down there, and you're going to pick it in your little beak right here, and you got it. You're already being fed. That's the wayside. Somebody is looking. Somebody is looking, whether you know it or not, but somebody is always looking. In the book of Daniel right here, I've always looked at this scripture right here, says that a watcher is set. Someone is watching, either good or bad, but somebody is looking. Now, if it happens to be the devil, it ain't for your good. He's looking at that, and he's going to eat that up fast. Now, in your Bible, in the beginning of the Bible right here, in Genesis, you might find the story of whom? Who?
Noah.
A little bit before Noah. That's the beginning. In the beginning, Adam and Eve. You was going to say it. I got you. All right. Adam and Eve were set in this garden. They're in this garden, and there over yonder, probably some distance away in the way I'd look at it right here, is that forbidden fruit. Now, Adam and Eve, they're wandering around, and boy, they're picking fruit, and they're picking the delights, and it's delicious, and it's good, and they love it. But as they're grousing their way through the garden right here, they're moving towards that tree. In my opinion, Eve and Adam were on the wayside. Eve and Adam, they were over there. The seed was sown on the wayside. They're on the wayside. There ain't a whole lot of soil there. There's not a whole lot that's going to be real good. But right over there yonder, right there on the wayside, is that's where they lit. And that seed's in them. God's already talked to them. God's already told them what the expectations are, what the blessings are, what the curse is. But they find themselves over there. And who is watching? Who's watching when she's getting tempted and she's getting close right here? Who is watching? The snake. All right. And he's watching Eve. And as soon as she takes a bite, and he got her. And he took it. And she fell for that old trick. But it didn't take long, and it didn't take much, because she is on the wayside. She's looking in. She's not fully committed about the principles that God has set forth. Thou shalt surely die. Not committed to that understanding. She's not committed to the fact that you'll be blessed and everything that you have right here is yours. She's not fully acclimated to that thought. All she wants is, I just want a bite of that. She's on the wayside. Well, there in your Bible, you're going to find another reference. You're going to find this in Proverbs. And this is I think it's the 7th chapter of Proverbs. And in that it says that there I was, and that's the preacher, that's Solomon or whoever it was, but it says, there I was, and I was looking out my window. And I'm looking out my window, and I saw one of the foolish ones. So he's looking out the window. He's looking at life. He's weighing life. He's seeing what motivates, what animates people, what makes this life go, what makes some people go down, what makes some people rise. And so he's looking out, and he sees one of the foolish ones. And that foolish one is going somewhere. And if he's foolish, he's going where? He's going to trouble. He's headed to trouble. And he's like that seed right there. He's on the wayside. And that devil, that snake, that crow is there looking, just waiting to come launching off there and grab him and be devoured. All right. Wherever I've gone, I've seen, and you ever heard this, it says that any group of people right here, if you had 10 people, one of them is involved, engaged, working hard. And the other 10 are holding the shovels and holding the rakes, and they're talking to each other while this one guy does the work. Most groups are like that. All right? Well, the people on the wayside are those that are holding the shovel but don't intend to use it. The people on the wayside right here hear the word. They got the word. The word lit. The word is good. They're on to the wayside. They're on this wayside, but they have no intention of being fully engaged. They're watching and they're looking and they're saying, "Oh, yeah, good work right here. That's nice. You guys do good work." But it hasn't entered their mind right here is to get that shovel and put it in the dirt and start digging. Well, we've gone to a few places, and some places I've gone to, I've seen people. We go down in Honduras. In Honduras, they got some big windows like that, and there's a preaching service going on, and people have made commitments, and they're coming to the service, and they want to go to the service, and they're listening hard to the service, and that seed is beginning to grow and having a positive effect right here. But always in those windows right here, somebody just kind of looking in. He ain't coming in. He wants to see what the excitement is. Down there in Honduras, there's a church. And this church, man, I'll tell you what, they raise the rafters and a lot of music and a lot of yelling and screaming and carrying on and so forth. And you find people on the outside there, and they're coming for the entertainment value. Don't have any intention of being engaged and being involved. On the wayside. And so the Lord is telling us, if we happen to be sitting here, if you happen to be a wayside person, if you happen to be in the middle of a decision as to whether you're going to be engaged or not, get off the wayside. Get out of there. There is, like I said, there is somebody looking. And if it's the devil looking, if it's the snake looking, if it's that big old black crow looking right here, ain't no good going to happen. Every once in a while, my wife's got a magic phone. On that magic phone, big phone, I don't know what to call it right here, but she's got this big phone, and there'll be this kind of little something, and that's called an Amber Alert. And that Amber Alert is some kid got kidnapped. Some kid got stolen. Some kid is in some car, in a trunk or wherever, and they're headed out of town fast. And thank goodness for the police right here. They're sending a broadcast all over Kansas City right here. If you see this car, if you see them right here, tell us right here, because there's a little kid in that car. Well, that little kid could be a 13-year-old kid, could be a 14-year-old, was on the wayside most of the time. Most of the time on the wayside there looking pretty. On the wayside, right there, not where the power and the goodness and the mercy and the protection and the deliverance is, but they're off to the wayside. When they're off to the wayside, that's where you're vulnerable. How many times have you ever seen some of these nature films right here? And there's a whole bunch of water buffalo, and boy, they're big brutes, and they're able to take care of any tiger, any lion, anything that comes their way. But off to the side of that big old herd of buffalo is some little skinny buffaloes. Some little young buffalo, and they're out there munching the grass, and they're enjoying it. Mama's dad probably saying in buffalo language, get over here, right here. But they like the grass over here. And who's watching? And I've seen it. And I've seen them lions. And boy, they're crouching through the grass. And they're looking. They've got that number. They know exactly who they're going to get. And that little calf, that little buffalo calf right here, does not know it, but he's going to be dinner tonight. We need to understand that. If we're on the wayside, if we're out there, peeking in, not engaged, not involved, the word hadn't took root. If we're out there, somebody is looking. And the devil has got some big plans. And here he comes. And so I believe that Jesus is saying right here, get off the wayside. Get away from that. And get in here where the garden is, where the fertile soil is, where the Spirit of God reigns, where He's talking, where He's moving, and children are gathered together and they're affected and they hear it and they're moved by it. The wayside. Stony ground. Stony ground is broadcasting that down there, and in my garden, boy, there's some chunks of rock. In that garden, I've got some good soil, and boy, I've got this wayside, but there's some big old chunks of rock laying around. And as I come by and I'm throwing down my watermelon seed, and boy, I can't wait to have some big old juicy, ripe red watermelon. And I'm passing that seed out right here, and some of it lands on a rock. Well, you know, according to Jesus and according to the way things are, is that if there's a little bit of moisture on that rock, if there's just a little bit of soil, that little seed can pop up. Boy, here I come. I'm coming out. And the seed's coming out. I'm going to be a big old watermelon plant. I can't wait. And just about when he's coming out here and says, here I come. And he gets squelched down right here. And he don't have any tap roots. He don't have any roots. He don't have anything that when the sun comes up, when the trials come, he don't have what it takes to be able to resist that sun. He's got no umbrella. He's got no protection. He's got no water. He's got no minerals. He don't have sufficient enough soil right here. And he's going to do what? He's going to die. Stony ground. Stony ground of people who get offended. I heard it today that, there's some that don't come. Well, why is that? Well, they got offended. Little word. Bible talks in James. That little word that comes out. That little word is like a little dagger, like a throwed sword. Coming out, this arrow comes in and sticks on somebody right here. And they get the feelings hurt. And they drift away. Well, Our job, if we're part of the garden right here, our job is I'm sorry. I remember seeing that when I was a kid. My dad and my mother had a visit by some folks, and that evening wore along, and there began to be a little bit of difference in opinion right here, and the man finally gets up and folds up his book and says, I'm out of here. And I remember my dad said, please don't leave. Please, I'm sorry, and I wish it was different, and I'm sorry we've got a difference of opinion right here. I wish it was better. Well, that man, or we, if we're so tender-tootsied, if we're so easily, if our skin is so thin, that a little word comes by and disturbs us and hurts us, our roots aren't very deep. I had a guy that I worked with, Roger Kill. He wasn't that I know of a Christian guy, but he had a virtue that I love. And I worked with crusty truck drivers, and man, they spent overtime just thinking about what they're going to say to Roger Kill. Boy, this is going to put him down. This is going to just eat him up. I mean, boy, this is going to fold him up, and he's going to just turn away with his head bowed and just give up right here. And Roger Kill couldn't be killed. Roger Kill right here had a big old 24-karat grin right here and said, all right, man. He says, I got you. I heard what you said. Now let's get back to work. He couldn't be offended. But here, people with these kind of shallow roots, they're easily upset. They're easily offended. And we need to make sure that we're in a place where our roots are going down, where we're in a place where we can be watered. We're in a place where we can be nourished, place for which maybe there's a degree of protection and vigilance going on. And so the Lord right here says that when the affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. In your little Book of Mormon, if you remember Lehi and Nephi's dream or vision, and he saw this rod of iron, and it said that they learned that real fast right here. Grab hold of that rod of iron right here, and that's going to take you to the what? The tree of life. Stay connected to that rod of iron. It's going to take you there. Well, that rod of iron, the Book of Mormon, the Bible, the Scriptures talk about, says the rod of iron is the Word of God. And so you hold on to that. But a funny thing was happening. On the way to the white fruit, on the way to where there's delights forevermore, on the way, and almost there, you're about to make it. I'm thinking of you, Laura, right there when you were just right there. Lord's talking to you. Keep on going, Laura. Keep on going. Kind of a symbol of our life, a marathon full of persecution and affliction and hurts. All kind of things are coming our way. And so these guys right here, it said, the Book of Mormon says that there were others that came through the mists of darkness. Boy, that was good. Coming through the mists of darkness. Look at that. You're resisting some temptation. That's good. And they're coming through, and they latched hold of the rod of iron. And then what happened? They fell away. Why'd they fall away? Why? Because the world is mocking them. The world is persecuting them. The world is making them feel foolish. Have you ever had it done to you? I've had it. Oh, you must be one of those Pat Boone Christians. You one of these folks who got all these strange ideas about Jesus rose from the dead? That Jesus is going to come back and save you? I tell you what, there's a whole lot of people can't take that. There's a whole lot of young people right here. They can't take this. They can't take that little finger right there. But I tell you what, I rejoice when I see adults and when I see young people right there, just like Nephi said, when that big spacious building, and they're looking down and they're pointing the finger, and he says, we heeded them not. We didn't look at them. We didn't pay any attention to them. They got nothing good for us. This If you've ever seen the cartoon, I haven't seen it for 40 years probably, Pinocchio. And in the story of Pinocchio, Pinocchio is going out and he's testing his legs. And he's going to go out there and he's going to taste this big world that he lives in. As he's coming up a little hill or he's getting near, there's a circus or a carnival going on. There's a carnival barker right here. Come this way. Come on in and be rich and make money and have the time of your life. Come on in here. You'll love it. Right here. And Pinocchio, he's going to have roots that go down because he's got roots. His seed is on the rock. And he goes in there. And what's the rest of the story? He goes in there and that door shuts. And that barker right here turns into an evil man right here, and he's turned into a donkey, a jackass. Somebody watching. Somebody looking to have that happen. And when persecution comes, as it will, when trials come, as they will, get off the rocky ground. Get your seed over there in the garden and get away from that. So when the sun comes up and the persecution comes right here, we don't have a whole lot of threat and concern right here because we're in the flock. We're in the family of God. Jesus is our Savior. He's the one looking after us. And I tell you what, we need that in this day that we're living in. We need it in this day. For which our day, I was listening to Jim Case here last Wednesday, Brother Leslie right here, before or after that. And they're talking about a big canopy coming down. But in that canopy, however it is right here, is that there was safety. But those that are not in it right here didn't make it. All right. This is that story I was telling you about where they were ashamed and they let go of that rod of iron and they were scoffing at him and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. How close may some of us be there? How close may that be for which our roots are not deep enough? And when the trials and the tribulation comes right here, is that we can withstand this kind of behavior? Now here's the part Jesus is talking about, parable, the seed among thorns. And that seed among thorns, is the way I can see it, is it says that it chokes the word. And it says, such as hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, entering, choke the word. And the way I see that, if some big old guy, like that big gorilla had that kid just the other day there, if some big guy grabbed you around the neck and he started squeezing right here, I tell you what, you wouldn't last long. A choking is going on, but the world that we're living in is choking life out of folks. They're choked to the point right here where they all they know is the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. And they're the very things that can bring them life. The very admonition, the very atmosphere, the very context that could bring joy to their hearts right here. They're embroiled and soaked up into the cares of this world, and they're choked. And they can't breathe. And they can't live. It's like that country western song right here. It says, we finally got us a brand new house. We always wanted a two-story house, as the country song goes. Wanted a two-story house. She's downstairs and I'm upstairs. The deceitfulness of riches. Choking the word of God. There's something about it. The admonition of the Lord right here. He's saying this. And what he's saying is that there is something about this world. That if you think that you can be in this world and taste of the things of this world and do the things of the world without getting choked, Jesus is telling you different. He's saying right here that there's something about if your seed is among these thorns, and if you've ever seen those big old thorns, and boy, I got some in my place, and big old thorns, big thorns that are that long, and they can gather around, and if that seed falls in there, Brer Rabbit ain't coming out. I mean, they are hooked in there, and they're trapped. Well, there's a couple of examples here in the Bible. And this guy by the name of Demas, way I can understand it right here is that he was a fellow minister. And he's ministering with Paul. And he's ministering with Paul, and they're going about, and they're knocking on doors, and they're visiting folks, and they're promoting the Word of God, and they're facing tribulation, and they're facing the attack of the world. But something happened to Demas. Can you read in there what happened to him? The cares of the world got hold of him. And you know how I picture this, Demas and Paul? I see Paul with a sword in his hand. And Paul has got his feet spread apart and he's set. And he's ready for anybody that comes his way. He's got the sword of the Spirit. He's ready and he's taking on anybody that comes his way. Demas, are you there? You got my back, Demas. Are you watching me, Demas? Demas is gone. Demas left. Why? He was thinking about the world. All the appeal of the world. Same kind of stuff. I don't believe it's a whole lot different than in the Garden of Eden. That same kind of human desire. That I'd like that. I want to just listen to that. I want to just see that. I'd like to experience that. All of it forbidden. God says, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't get entwined. Don't get involved right here. And for those that don't heed that, and their seed is in the thorns right here, they're going to leave. They're going to be gone. How many people do you know of that, and I hear this all the time, I'm going to talk like a little bishop, I'm not a bishop right here, but if I was a bishop right here, I would probably say, you know, I said, well, now you need to be paying your tithing, you need to be giving, you know, your little portion to the Lord right here, the Lord's going to bless you if you give a little bit, so forth, but you know what, and I hear it, I'll tell you what, I got too many things, I'm buying. I mean, can't you see that SUV out there? That's cost me a lot of money. I'm having to work overtime to pay for that. And you see this house I'm living in? Well, look at all that stuff, right? You know, that costs money. Can't you understand that? I don't have the money to be able to do that. I'd kind of like to, you know, I should right here, but I don't. Or, you know, I go out to eat a couple times a week. And you know, I've got things and activities I do. I've got these little places that I go to right here. I ain't got time to come to church. I ain't got time to pay the money. I haven't got time to read the Word of God. No, I haven't prayed for a long time. The deceitfulness and the cares of the world. Now, this is the Word of God from heaven. This is God talking. And a whole lot of folks right here, when they're looking at that, when they're seeing that, what they're seeing and what they're thinking is, but it doesn't apply to me. I can ride that wall, that fence. And what does it say about you cannot serve God in what? Mammon. You can't do it. You're in it or you're out of it. You're in the thorn patch, or you're growing, and you're getting strong in the words of the Lord. If it animates you, and if you see that, and you feel that, and you hear that, those kind of motions right here, well, I just don't have the time. Or I would like to. Can you hear an excuse coming? I would really like to. Oh, Brother Denham. Sterling man. He had his seed in the garden. And he always said, and I've said it before, but it's right. And what he said right here is you do what you want to do. You're going to go where you want to go. And so if somebody says, well, you know, I'd like to go to church. You don't want to go. I'd like to pay my tithing. You don't want to pay it. Well, I would like to ask that brother that I offended with my sharp tongue right here. I ought to go say I'm sorry. I don't want to. I'm not going to do it. But the man or the woman who does the hard thing, they do the hard thing. Hard thing paying right here. I had a black friend of mine. He didn't belong to our church, but I tell you what, boy, he was strong in believing in God. He said, I want to tell you, he said that I work at the Independent Stove Foundry, and I'm pouring hot molten iron every day. And what I do in this hot, sweaty, miserable job from, you know where, right here, I don't get paid very much. But I want to tell you that I'm afraid not to pay my tithing. Or I'm afraid not to do what the Lord is whispering in my ear and in my heart to do. Those in thorns can't do it. Not going to do it. But those who see that and recognize that and have an ambition and have made an effort and is working in that direction to get out of the thorn patch, they're on their way to joy and happiness and goodness and love. I'm thinking of Alma, the first Alma. The first Alma right here, the first Alma, it's fair to say, in my opinion, it's fair to say that the first Alma was a party man. The first Alma right here, he had his ivory seat that he ate his pomegranates from. That he and King Noah right here, they did all their sordid stuff right here, and it was enjoyable, and they did it, and they stayed with it until somebody out of the garden stood up. What's his name? Abinadi. Preached the living word that'll make you grow. And him on the wayside, him in the rocky soil, wherever he was at, one of these four people, he was off there. He was out of the will of God. He was a practicing wicked man. Until that seed lit. Until he got out of the thorn patch. And he got out of trouble, and he got out of the view of the devil right here. And he remembered the word of God. And a seed opened up and poured in the hope and the sunshine. And that seed began to grow. And what does it say there in the Book of Mormon? Oh, what beautiful days they were. The waters of Mormon. How wonderful the days that we had hearing the Word of God and practicing the Word of God. How beautiful are the waters of Mormon. Could you pay for that? Could you buy that? Can you buy that kind of experience that he had and the brothers and sisters of the faith growing tight together in that garden of God? You can't buy it, but you could sure have it free. Didn't cost us a dime right here, except maybe a little money to get here by your car. And God, I believe, wants to feed us, wants to take care of us. He wants to nurture us. He wants to build up a holy faith in us. That when that trial, that persecution comes, And when there's choices that we got to make against the deceitfulness of this world and the riches right here, and God Almighty, then we'll make the right decision. And we'll choose by faith. We'll choose by union, by experience, that our God is faithful. And He promised, and He kept His promise, and how good it is, and how wonderful it has been. That's talking about, and this is the Word of God. They that will be rich, and I know of somebody who has told me that. I am going to be rich. I will not rest until I am rich. They, the admonition from the Word of God, are in peril. Many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The love of money is what? The root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O children of God, O man of God, His children, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Right dealing with one another. If I was sitting in one of these pews here, I'm making a point about righteousness. If I was sitting here by Laura, and I'm sitting beside her right here, and all of a sudden I've got to use the restroom, or I got to go outside, and I just get up and without regard to her or anybody in the bench there, I just flummox my way out of there and stumble my way to the door and out right here. Am I righteous? Would that be righteous behavior? If I'm talking to one of you, and I permit to escape my mouth those things that hurt and injure and insult or make fun of you, would that be righteousness? No. But thee, O man of God, follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. And I tell you what, I am in lacking supply of some of these right here. And I want them. But they got to be sought after. And these are they which are on the good ground. Here's of the four right here, of that four, that lucky guy, that lucky gal that landed in the garden patch, or got off the wayside, or got off the rocky ground, and they found themselves in the garden, right? So Jesus says right here that if they get into that good ground where the nutrition is, where the feeding is, where the love is, where the bond is, where the peace and all the things that we desire in life, where that is right here, says that some of them are going to reap 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Here's Ammon talking. And he's got his brethren around him, and they have come out of the, in my understanding, they come out of the mission field. They're out of the mission field. And Ammon is there, and he's talking to his brothers, and they're looking at the garden. They're looking at the expanse of grain that goes as far as the eyes can see. They're looking at that, and they're talking to each other about it. Look at that! And Ammon says, who would have known that that would have happened? Who would have known the joy that we experience? Who would have thought in the wildest mind that we'd have this? He says, my heart is brim with joy. Can you find that in this world? Have you ever been brimful of steak and potatoes? Probably. brimful of joy by sitting down to a big gigantic meal. Sitting down to a big sack of money. When I was a kid, I had a paper route. In this paper route, I had Saturdays, I had to make a collection. I got to put this little vignette out here. And so I probably had 10 pounds of change. And we would take it. I had a friend of mine. Some of you know him. I ain't going to identify him. And we put our hands together. And we put a thumb up and we made a little slot right here. And we filled our hands for that money. And then one of us would take the thumb right here and crank it right here. And we're rich! Did that ever give me any joy? Rush Limbaugh, I heard him say it one time. He said, I've come a long ways. I'm not advocating him. I'm just saying that he said this on the radio. He said, I've come a long ways from where I was 30 years ago when I began radio industry. I want to tell you that I was relatively poor back in those days. He's not now. Multi-millionaire. He says, I would lie to you if I tell you that I'm happier today than I was back in those days when I didn't have any pocket change in my pockets. And that's what happens when men like this invest their lives in the work and the will of God. They have been engaged. They have asked what they can do. They have been looking to find, you know, how often and how much of a joy that is. Say we're all leaving here, and a few of you have left right here. How wonderful it is for one of you who live here. Now you got to clean up the mess that we left. And how refreshing and wonderful it is if one of the people that's living says, we're going to stay and we're going to stay with you and help clean this place up. Well, that's good. Well, this rejoicing is going on. And here at Ammon, he's praising God, and he's been silenced by his brother because you're bragging too much. And he says, I'm only bragging in God. Well, here's a little story there in the back part of your Bible there about Phoebe, our sister. You know, when I was a kid, and I still do it, I have a hard time calling Leslie, Leslie. I do. Brother Leslie. Brother Nicholas. Brother Flint. You know, they were brothers. There happened to be a woman right here. Well, that was Sister Nast. That was, you know, that was Sister Irene. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. What are we talking about? We're talking about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Ammon back there on that previous slide right here, I would imagine after all the spitting he endured, after all the probably near deaths and all the plots against his life. All of that right here. And then he got to the end of that and he's seeing the waves, amber waves of grain just a waving right here. And they planted it all by God's virtue and God's help. I bet he's a hundredfolder. I bet he's a hundredfolder. God, do you think he recognizes Sister Phoebe? Well, Paul recognized her. Paul saw that woman is a servant to the church. That woman, she's always there. She's always helping. She's opened her doors. She's inviting people. You know people, and I can name names, of people who, that's who they are. Why don't you slow down, sister? Why do you do that? Well, I just love feeding people. I just love having people come into my house. I just love talking to people. A servant of the church, a servant of God, really. A servant of the Lord Jesus. Receive her, he says. Become a saint that your sister in whatever business she hath need of you. Probably some woman, and she performed some needful task of Paul. He probably asked her, he said, sister, would you do this? And she said yes. And she did it. far beyond his expectation. She's a 30-folder, maybe a 60-folder, maybe a 100-folder. Here is Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila, Paul, and I've heard this over there in the Philippines, Brother Frank said this, said they'll be walking down a road. As they're walking down a road, they are surrounded by our Philippine brothers and sisters. They're tight, and they're walking. And he asked them, well, we can't go anywhere without you guys pinching us in. I mean, we're just surrounded by you guys. What are you doing that for? We're protecting you. We're looking after you. They laid down their life, or would have, for Brother Paul. They took the heat and the tribulation and the persecution. And they did that. Brother Paul, we're not leaving you like Demas did. We're here with you. You can count on us. Lord's talking to us in these days. I believe He's talking to us. Get ready. Ready for that day. Deepen our roots. Get out of the wayside. Get out of the thorn patch. Get off the rocky ground. Get in where the soil is, where the Lord is working, where He's moving, and He's going to make a bumper harvest. And He has plans on doing that. And He's looking. Who's a Joe Kidd or somebody said right here, he said, you know what the Lord is? He's a fruit inspector. And He's taking and he's examining the fruit. Oh boy, that's a good apple, that's a good tangerine, a peach or an orange right here. Ooh, that's good. That's what the Lord wants. And He's asking us all. There's a job to be done. There's work to be accomplished. Likewise, greet her, greet the church that is in their house. Well, you know, and I've done that. I grew up with that. I grew up Wednesday nights. We'd be meeting at a cottage meeting. Someone's house. Well, you know, that probably gets old after a while. Yeah, well, they drug in dirt. Yeah, they messed up the coverings I had on my sofa. I fed them afterwards. I had, you know, I made special things. Nobody said a thing right here. And they sprinkled crumbs all over my rug. But she offered her house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. We got it. The Lord has showed us everything to do. Everything we need to know, we're given. You read that, I think it's in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Everything that pertains to God and godliness has been given us. I mean, we've got given us joy and peace and righteousness and all the gifts that God gives. He showed us that. Showed us those things. How laboring you ought to support the weak. How many times that my parents had a grand total of $120 a month income, and there'd be a knock at the door. Brother, Sister Sheldon right here, we got something for you. To remember the words of the Lord Jesus, He said it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I can't remember if I said this. We had a young people event. And in that event, we had a little girl there who was spoiled little girl nicely? Kind of, you know, used to having her own way, her own bed, her own things, her own cookies. You know, this is all my toys. You know, this is who I am. It's all about me. This is who I am. Get over it, because it all comes towards me. Well, anyway, she's part of our young people's. So we had the young people right here, and they hatched out this scheme. What we're going to do is that we're going to go to City Union Mission, and we're going to get as many impoverished kids, orphan kids, and bring them back to the Temple Lock Church and give them the best Christmas they ever had. And that's the plan. And so they did, and they come in, and they slobbed up the place, all the orphans and the kids right here, and they had shredded gifts and packages, and we had a big dinner, and they ate that dinner, and half of it was on the floor, and boy, these kids were all there, and they had a big time, and they enjoyed it, and we took them all back. Then we got to come back, and we got to clean the place up. So we did. So we cleaned the place up. A little girl, giddy, just giddy. So what's wrong with you? It's the best Christmas I ever had. I never had as good a Christmas as this. What? You've had $300 every time you've had Christmas given your way, spent on gifts right here. This is the best. When Paul had said that, he's leaving. And he kneels down with his brothers and sisters. I can see it. I can feel it. I love it. Kneeling down and he prays with them. And they wept sore and kissed him and he left. Well, that is the living, breathing garden of God. That's the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it looks like. That's what it ought to be like. That's where the joy is. That's where the payback, if you look at it, it flows your way. There's a river, the Bible says, and it flowed to the throne of God. And that river, the river of love, the river of goodness and mercy, the river of involvement, drinking and eating the promises and the goodness and grace of God, took them all the way to where the Lord is. I hope and pray that is our desire and our effort, that we are not going to rest. We're not content to be on the wayside. If we're on the wayside right here, we know that we're a sitting duck. I'm going to get out of there. If we're on that rocky soil right here, there ain't no nourishment there. You can't get it there. You can't get it from the world. You can get it here. You can get it in your relationship with the Lord. By your money right here. Book of Mormon says this pretty unusual thing. Talks about riches and it says what? Says, ye that are godly right here, you'll seek for riches that you do what? You'll do good. And that's it. That's the order of the Lord. That's what He wants. How He's called us all. We're different places, but He's calling us. And He's calling us out of the wayside and off the rocks and out of the thorns and into the garden patch. May the fruit of the Lord's efforts bloom and grow, and this the body of Christ. God bless you.